I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So there's this video, and you're seeing the inside of a Nissan Altima with a black leather interior. In the center console, you can see a water bottle, keys, and a cell phone. And you can also see the right arm of the driver, who's holding the camera. He's got an intricate sleeve tattoo. In the center is the symbol for the 187th Airborne, the famous U.S. Army unit whose history dates back to World War II. The air conditioner is at full blast. It's in the 90s today, in Denver.
UCE 7775 in Denver, Colorado. Today is August 25th at approximately 2:50 p.m.
The man you're hearing is an FBI undercover agent, number 7775. UCE is the FBI's acronym for undercover employee. This FBI guy, he's going by the nickname Red. I don't know his real name.
What happened?
A few minutes into the recording, Mickey walks up to the Nissan Altima. Red rolls down his window, and he notices Mickey's broken finger.
What'd you do to that thing?
I went to Sturgis, some fucking drunk driver hit me.
Oh.
On his fucking bike. Just clipped my handlebars from my wrist, that was it.
Mickey then walks over to his car, and Red, sitting in the Altima, seems to think Mickey looks ridiculous as he gets behind the wheel of a silver hearse.
Holy shit.
Red then follows Mickey. He's listening to the radio as he drives. A few minutes later, Red pulls into the parking lot of a TGI Fridays. Mickey walks up to him again.
He's pretty laid back. He's kind of fucking, you'll see, he's kind of mental in some fucking ways.
He's kind of mental in some fucking ways. Mickey means Bryce Shelby, the activist with the vague plot to assassinate Colorado's attorney general. Mickey's about to introduce Bryce to Red, the friend he'd been talking about, the outlaw biker, the no-fuck-around guy. I'm Trevor Aronson. From Western Sound and iHeart Podcasts, this is Alphabet Boys. Episode 7. They call me Juice. Mickey Windecker, the FBI's informant, has his sights on two targets, Zeb Hall and Bryce Shelby. He'd tried to roll them up over lunch at Famous Dave's into a single conspiracy, but Zeb had said he's not ready. So now, in this episode, Mickey's going after Bryce. Just Bryce. Before we get there, I just want to remind you of the timeline. It's a bit confusing, since so much happens over the span of 1 week. The attacks on the police buildings in Denver, the ones Mickey hyped up, they happened from August 22nd to August 29th, 2020. At the beginning of that week, Mickey invited Zeb Hall and Bryce Shelby to lunch at a famous Dave's barbecue restaurant. That's when Bryce discusses with Mickey an idea to target Colorado's attorney general.
So you're thinking for sure that the AG.
Yeah, somebody, we know, something that was in the message.
Right.
And Zeb offers crazy talk about navigating Denver's sewers.
So at the events where things happen, they're always by the sewers. They're always by the street. Yeah.
After this meeting, Mickey had gone up to his FBI handler, Agent Scott Dahlstrom, and suggested that Bryce was serious about an assassination plot.
Attorney General's your target.
So that's the timeline. Now, it's August 25th, a Tuesday, and we're at a TGI Fridays. Mickey is planning to introduce Bryce to Red, the friend he'd been talking about, the no-fuck-around guy. Before Bryce arrives at the restaurant, Mickey and Red are there with another demonstrator named Mark, who knows Bryce from the protest scene. And Mickey is describing how he knows Red, which is, of course, a bullshit story.
Known Red for like a decade. We met at 70 Sturges because it's 10 years now. So it's like 80. I saw him again like a couple weeks ago and I was like, bro, what's up? So, but because like the special forces community is like real small, even though like, you know, I'm Kurdish, just like that, you still talk to him and stuff like that. And I hate to say it, but I had to check on him. And a couple other guys from Fifth were like, yeah, we know who he is. He's cool. I was like, all right, cool. All right. I just want to make sure because he's got some good qualities, bro. He's got some top notch shit. So,
yeah.
Okay, I just want to highlight the absurdity here for a minute. Mickey, the guy who got booted out of the Peshmerga in Iraq for being a fraud and a liability to the fighters there, is claiming to have been in the Peshmerga's special forces. And that's where he met others in the special forces community, including, apparently, Rhett, a retired American soldier. Mickey says he's called around to his special forces contacts, and they all vouch for Rhett, who, Mickey says, has, quote, some top-notch shit. And what he means by top-notch shit is, of course, weapons.
Anything you guys are going to do, I mean, I know that Bryce is like, his plans.
He's fired up.
Oh, he's fired up.
I don't know exactly what, but
yeah.
We're about it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But he's, unfortunately, I'm non-operational because my, they can probably amputate the motherfucker.
Mickey's talking about his broken finger again.
That'll suck if you lose that thing, man.
Oh, man, I'll be mad as fuck because I got to like, I'm gonna have to get like one of the prosthetic 3D print ones on there and shit. So I'm like shifting my little Captain Hook or my nose picker or my twat grabber.
A few minutes later, Bryce arrives.
What's up? What you up to?
Fine.
It's good, bro.
Okay. How you doing? Mick?
How you doing? Right on.
Mark?
What's up, dude?
What's up, bro?
Good, brother. Another day, man.
Hey, Bryce, this is my boy Red. Red, this is Bryce.
Juice, man. They call me Juice.
Juice.
That's my name, man.
Yeah, Bryce tells the FBI undercover agent his nickname is Juice. They call me Juice, he says.
Get you something to drink, man?
Yeah, let me get a strawberry lemonade.
Strawberry lemonade? I'll be right back. Okay, cool.
Mickey then starts telling Bryce about his friend Red and how his fellow members of the Special Forces community vouch for him.
He's legit. All your shit you want to do, that's my boy that's going to help with your dreams come true.
I don't even know what the fuck we're fighting. I just know that these people that run shit are not for us. I'm some regular Joe civilian. But if I see this coming, I'm not just going to stand by. This is my family that could be next. I got the district attorney's address.
No, who?
This is the district attorney general. I keep always saying the district attorney, the attorney general. I don't even know. No.
Bryce is still confusing the two positions, the two different elected officials, the district attorney and the attorney general. Red and Mickey ask Bryce if he's been to the address.
So you went checked it out?
You have seen it?
Mm-hmm. But have you been in it?
I just Googled it.
Okay. Like, neighborhood itself, like, it looks pretty quiet. So it's really a matter of what time did this motherfucker get home. Because if nobody's outside, Well, you just hear some pops and we're gone.
What kind of neighborhood is it?
G neighborhood. Like one of them enclosed kind of neighborhoods, you know, a lot of trees and shit like
but not,
that.
No gates.
No, hell, no gates. Hell.
No, oh, gates. That's a good one.
So I'm just thinking, I don't know, like, I would like to get multiple people at one time, but obviously you got to keep this small. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, who's somebody we can get? This motherfucker is the one overseeing all these cases, you know what I mean? So.
This motherfucker is the one overseeing all these cases, Bryce says. Again, he's confusing the two offices. The attorney general isn't prosecuting demonstrators. That's the district attorney.
Nobody knows that we're here besides me and him.
All right.
None of my people from my circle, none of my people from his circle that I know of, unless you told somebody. Man.
I didn't know.
I haven't said nothing to nobody.
Compartmentalize that shit.
I just do missions. I gangbang and shit like that, so this is another mission to me, but on this...
Red suggests to Bryce that they take a drive to scout out the attorney general's house.
All right, well, I think we ought to roll by there.
Okay. I got the address.
I mean, if you're good with it.
I'm with it.
Your call, but... See what the options are at that point, right?
A few minutes later, Mickey leaves, saying he has somewhere else to be. Now Bryce and Red can talk about Mickey without him hearing. Bryce asks Red if he and Mickey had served together.
Not directly with him. No, we met here, but I spent 20 years in the military and spent 11 years overseas.
Thank you for your service. What branch?
Yeah. Army.
Army.
Red then shifts the conversation back to the plot to murder the attorney general.
I mean, I think that what you were saying, I think you can accomplish that goal, but in a manner that would allow you to be somewhere
still
able else
to see the next day, right? Versus running,
and then you can continue to be who you want to be, not somebody's
right,
not just mounted on a wall somewhere,
right? Exactly.
That's my nickname. Like, that's my nickname. They call me Juice.
That's what I said. You said it earlier. I didn't pull that out of my ass.
There's a way to pull this off, Red says, and not splatter your juice on the wall. Bryce likes the joke. Anyway, Bryce is adamant that he's serious about all this, but he's still confusing the title of the guy he is supposedly plotting to assassinate.
How is this going to change? Will people understand what happened? Will they just hire another DA back to the old ways?
Right.
Red tells Bryce that he's here to help because Mickey asked him to help.
That's why he called me.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I'm here. Like I said, I owe him a favor. Here it is.
But the favor Bryce really wants, the reason it seems he even took this meeting, is to find someone to fix his rifle, which has a bullet jammed in it.
Yeah. Would you mind looking at my rifle?
Bro, that's what I do every day.
All right. That's all I need to do. That's about it, bro. That's really it for me. I'll go. I'll try. Nobody else will. I'll try.
That's really it for me. Bryce is telling Red that's all he wants. Fix my rifle, and I'll go kill the guy myself. Red, not wanting Bryce to go on his own, suggests instead that they plan this thing together.
You gotta think about it, like. You got to give it some thought, and not in terms. I'm not arguing with you in terms
right.
of your end game. I'm saying you got to give it some thought as to the how. I think we ought to take a ride,
okay,
and just go see. There's no harm in that.
Red suggests that he and Bryce drive to the Attorney General's house to scope it out. More after the break.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
He was really basically asking me, like, what would be my plan, how would I do it, and shit like that. And I was really just saying, like, movie shit. Cut his lights off, kick in the door. I don't got no real fucking plan to do this shit.
This is Bryce Shelby. I've asked him about his conversation with the FBI undercover agent, Red, and his supposed plot to kill Colorado's attorney general, whom Bryce kept getting mixed up with the district attorney.
I'm not sitting in my fucking room writing up fucking a damn blueprint and what the fuck? I didn't even know who the nigga was.
Why? So I think a listener would say, like, well, why did you talk about it?
I guess, I don't know. That's just how you feel at a moment. Like, when I'm gonna kill that motherfucker. You've said that about a lot of people that pissed you off in life. Listeners, you ain't never killed them for real, have you?
This assassination plot, though, ends up being a little more than talk. Bryce had the attorney general's home address. He said he got it from another demonstrator who, trying to be provocative, had read off a bunch of elected officials' home addresses during a speech. So Red, the undercover agent, suggests they drive out to the house, maybe come up with a more concrete plan. Bryce agrees to go. On the ride over, they keep talking. And Bryce is acting like a tough guy.
So what are you thinking?
Like I said,
I mean, let's just put it this way. If you could have it any way you wanted.
Just catch that motherfucker hopping out of his car. Because originally I was thinking, shut the power off and come through the window or something like that.
Oh, shit, you're talking about Rambo.
Yeah, but then I got to thinking, that's too much shit. I got a big-ass rifle I got to hold. I got to, you know what I mean? I think about back to, like, forensics tracing and shit like that.
Yeah.
Versus not getting none of that shit on you at all. Motherfucker hop out the car. You know what I mean? Pop it. Bam.
You're still talking about forensics right there.
Yeah, but that's a lot less forensics, though.
I see what you're saying.
The FBI agent is being generous here for the sake of the undercover sting. Bryce is talking a bunch of nonsense.
As far as, like, actually just bodying niggas up, like, nah, that ain't in my boat. You trying to hurt me, though? While I was minding my own business? All right, yeah, no, okay. We're going to see about you here in 1 second.
Bryce then begins to describe to Red how he wasn't interested in any sort of violence when he first started protesting. Mickey, he says, pushed him in that direction.
And when I met Mickey, yeah, that was literally the first thing he said. He was like, we're at an impasse. A lot of people like thought he was a cop and shit, and then me and him started talking. And then he pulled out his fucking prison ID. I'm like, yeah, this ain't no cop, for sure.
Red then asked Bryce what he knows about the guy whose house they're driving to.
What do you know about this guy's attorney general? Do you know all his family?
I think he has one kid and a wife. But that might be his, those might just be relatives. You know, like on voter registration, it doesn't say who's what.
Yeah.
I think he has one kid and a wife. I don't know how old his kid is either.
How old's he?
40, mid to early 40s. Early to mid 40s, I guess I should say.
How long has he been in office?
About 4 years. I want to say about 4 years. 4 or 5.
Okay, I want to pause for a minute. Because Bryce, he gets almost everything wrong about Colorado's attorney general at the time. A guy named Phil Weiser. Phil Weiser is married. That much is true. But he has 2 children, not 1. At the time Bryce and Red are having this conversation, Weiser is 52 years old, not in his early to mid-40s. And he was elected in 2018, and, as this conversation is happening, has been in office for less than 2 years. Not, as Bryce says, 4 or 5 years. Anyway, back to the car ride.
So, the question I asked earlier, in a perfect situation, what happens?
He hops out the car. I'd say maybe about 100 yards away, if that. If we could park somewhere close, that'd be great. If not, I ain't worried about it. This kind of neighborhood, like I said, it's trees and shit like that. So, you know what I mean? You could do a nice little sprint before anybody ever sees anything.
Gotta figure everybody's got cameras.
Yeah. But you know, I say in a perfect situation, the motherfucker hops up the car. He's getting his briefcase in the back seat or whatever. Light him up a couple times. Aim for the head, goddammit. Jesus Christ.
This is about when they pull into the neighborhood.
We pulled in front of it. We pulled in front of the school, actually, and sat in the parking lot. I don't know, 150 yards away from the house.
Bryce and Red are looking at the house.
I don't know. What do you think?
Figure out his schedule. I'm gonna have to come by here with, probably with my homegirl.
See if I think if you think you're gonna sit outside here, catch him leaving?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, bro.
What about coming home?
You gotta figure. Comes home. He does this. The garage door goes up. He drives inside. He does this. The garage door goes down. Hmm. I mean, I think there's a better chance of accomplishing your goal. There's something else, right? I mean, not like here.
Yeah.
I just think you can get the thing done and get out. Mick told me, and correct, and maybe he's wrong, but he told me that one of your big concerns was making sure you didn't get caught.
Yeah, of course.
So.
Live to fight another day.
Yeah.
I want to see the results of if this worked or not, of course.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to figure out which car he drives. And just see where he's, you know what I mean, where he goes from a day-to-day basis. You know what I mean? Trail him. I'm gonna have to trail him. I wasn't gonna start doing none of this until I got back in town from Kentucky.
At this point, while he's talking like some hitman, Bryce is backing out, ever so subtly. He says he can't do anything soon because he'll be traveling. So Red suggests another possibility. He's got connections. They could hire someone to kill the Attorney General.
You know, it's going to cost something to put it together. That's all I'm saying.
What are we looking at figure-wise? $500-$600?
Yeah.
I figured that.
Somewhere in there.
Red and Bryce then drive back to the TGI Fridays, where Bryce's car is parked. On the way back, Bryce confuses again the Attorney General with the District Attorney.
Do DAs have? I mean, do Attorney Generals have security?
Well, I'm sure it's at the building. I don't know if they got them, like,
personal
protective details or anything. But...
What Red didn't know at this point is Bryce is onto him. Bryce doesn't know a lot of things, that's for sure. He certainly doesn't know much about his elected officials. But Bryce knows this. $500 or $600? No way you can find a hitman to kill an elected official for $500 or $600.
And I just kind of like, okay, like yeah, I'll let you know. Like, you know what I mean? Like when you hear a motherfucker say some bullshit and you're like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll get right on it. I got you. Yep, I'm gonna call you. Yep. Ha, you stupid, bro. I'm gonna hit you though. Calling you, bro.
Bryce, he knows something is very off.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
So Bryce, as you're probably figuring, doesn't assassinate Colorado's attorney general, or even try to. But his rhetoric, it's troubling. He did talk about killing a politician. Bryce said, just shoot him as he gets out of his car. It's on tape, secretly recorded by the FBI.
Motherfucker, hop out the car. You know what I mean? Pop it, bam.
Bryce seemed to have a kind of bloodlust in his words. Same with Zeb Hall. He was like Bryce, talking big, talking about violence, talking about burning the whole motherfucker down. I've seen this kind of behavior a lot in undercover stings. The targets of the investigation talking and acting like the undercovers, who are, in turn, acting like bad guys. Terrorists, drug dealers, money launderers, con men, whatever. Humans have a tendency to mimic the behavior of people in their social groups. We all do this, some more than others. But in undercover stings, there tends to be an amplifying effect. The targets of the sting either want to impress the undercovers, or they're scared of the undercover agents. And so they talk and act more like bad guys. Bryce is doing this. For example, when Mickey and Red talked to Bryce about guns, he told them that his guns were illegal to bolster his image as a badass. But that isn't true.
I was maintaining the image with them. I bought my shit in pawn stores. So, you know, I mean, I was floating it to them. You know what I mean? I'm gangbanging, whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop. I'm Crips. I ain't got no tattoos. Nowhere fucking where on my goddamn body. And not that that means anything, because there's gang members that don't have no tattoos at all. But I'm not in the gang book. I've never been arrested, like, with, you know what I mean, with people, you know what I mean, for them to profile me like that or no shit like that. But I was telling them that, you know what I mean? I'm thinking, again, these are mercenaries and hitmen, so... You know what I mean? We talk and killer talk, more or less.
So you're playing the part.
Yeah. And then when that motherfucker was like, yeah, throw me 500, I got you. Well, first off, running in the streets, you killing a political figure for way more than that. I'm just saying straight up, you know what I mean? You killing somebody big like that for way more than $500.
So you knew it was suspicious right away just because the price was so out of line, right?
Yeah. Grossly. You selling yourself grossly. That's some M's. For an M like that, that's some M's. Just being real.
By M's, Bryce means millions. A murder like this would cost millions, not $500. After they drive over to the attorney general's house and discuss how they might kill him, Bryce never talks to Mickey or Red again.
And they tried to call me and shit like that, but... you know what I mean? I didn't recognize the number, shit like that.
You just ghosted him at that point?
I wasn't trying to fuck with you to that degree, no way. You really trying to do this shit. I'm not doing this. I know it's not going to end the way I want it to end. Okay, all right, you killed a couple of our people. All right, we're going to change all laws, give you all reparations. No, that's not going to change anything. It's going to piss them off more. We're really going to start killing black people more. Yeah.
I asked Bryce if he thought what happened to him and what happened with Mickey's work in Denver were all a continuation of the FBI's history of targeting black political activists. Bryce says, yeah, just read some history.
There's a document. You can find it on the internet. You could Google it. It's called Operation Black Messiah, and it's pretty much made to prevent the rise of any militant-minded, charismatic black males, any heterosexual, stereotypical black males that rise to power, fame, glory, whatever, you know what I mean? Don't let him get to the people. Don't let them love him too much. They'll kill for that motherfucker, and therefore they'll turn on our white asses, more or less.
You might know what Bryce is referring to here. There was recently a movie called Judas and the Black Messiah about the government's involvement in the killing of Black Panther leader Fred Hampton during a raid. Now, there wasn't an Operation Black Messiah per se. What Bryce is referring to are the COINTELPRO operations under FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, the ones that infiltrated and subverted black political groups like Dr. Martin Luther King's organization and the Black Panthers. These programs were meant to prevent a black messiah, this was Hoover's term, from unifying black political groups in the United States. Bryce believes that the government is out to destroy any increase in black political action and power. They've done it before, and they're doing it again. It pisses him off.
I feel like America wants us to just be quiet and let it happen, but that's so un-American. Like, this country was started by some motherfuckers who didn't want to pay 10 cents or 13 cents or whatever on some tea. They started a whole fucking war, separated from their country, their motherland, over some tea. I'm wrong for wanting, I guess, as the government will put it, I'm wrong for wanting to go to war because you're killing us for no specific, over a $20 check, over a $20 bill, over an autistic kid walking down the street dancing to his music with a mask on because he's weird like that. I'm wrong for wanting to go to war because you're killing us for small, egregious reasons. I think I'm more American than you, son of a bitches, then.
The FBI is far from done with Bryce, and they're going to find a new way to draw another protester into their trap, Zeb Hall. At the same time, Mickey's work for the FBI is slowly metastasizing beyond the Denver area. Mickey provides the FBI with information about demonstrators in Colorado Springs. This sets off a whole series of events that will have big consequences for Mickey. The FBI launches a new, separate investigation in Colorado Springs, where a young cop is recruited to work with the FBI. She wears a long wig of pink hair.
When you were marching in the housing march, were you doing that for the Colorado Springs Police Department?
I was under the authority of the FBI.
How many other FBI agents were in that march?
I respectfully decline to answer.
That's in the next episode. This is Trojan Hearse, season one of Alphabet Boys. Alphabet Boys is a production of Western Sound and iHeart Podcasts. The show is reported, written, and hosted by me, Trevor Aronson. For more information about the series, or to drop us a tip, head to our website, alphabetboys.xyz. You can contact me on Twitter and Instagram, at Trevor Aronson. We believe this story is important and could result in changes to FBI oversight and public policy. But to have impact, people need to hear the story. So we need your help. First, tell your friends about the show. Personal recommendations are the best recommendations. Second, spread the word on social media. At alphabetboys.xyz, you'll find FBI undercover recordings and secret documents. You can share stuff the government never wanted public. Third, help us ride the algorithms by leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. That helps other people find us. And finally, thanks so much for listening.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs in Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season two of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.